This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisen and Noel Lim. It is 7:07 in the morning, Tuesday, the 12th of January. And in about 10 minutes, we're going to be talking about the UMNO Bersatu breakup with Dr. Hamidin Hamid from the think tank Ilham Center. We're also running a poll this morning asking you what is the main challenge in implementing an effective MCO. Do let us know what you think over on the BFM Twitter account at BFM Radio.
Well, currently we got 50 votes there. And what is the main challenge? Well, people say 41% say lack of clear SOPs. 27% say lack of fair enforcement. 31% say no government financial aid. 2% say others. We will get some comments, I think, later on. But yes, that's what's happening on the poll front.
All right. So do let us know what you think. In the meantime, though, we're taking a look at what's been happening over on the markets.
Yeah, it's a red day. The Dow is down 0.3%. S&P 500 down 0.7%. NASDAQ down 1.3%, perhaps on the back of lingering concerns about COVID-19. The Nikkei was also closed down. Hang Seng was up 1.1%, Shanghai down 1.1%, STI down 0.3%, FBM KLCI also down 1%.
Yeah, it was a synchronized downward trend, right? Even Bitcoin saw a 20% fall yesterday. It's only at around $34,800 per Bitcoin right now. Only.
So this morning, to give us more insight into global markets, we have on the line with us Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Joe, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning. U.S. Treasury yields have spiked on expectations of a jumbo-sized Biden-led stimulus. How are higher yields likely to impact the stock market? Are equities and bonds going to continue moving in tandem?
Well, remember, the yield has backed up for sure, but that's on the expectation of reflation, stronger and expected growth here in the United States due to more fiscal stimulus. So the markets are pricing in. You're seeing a lot of economists on the Wall Street really raise their GDP estimates for 2021, some as high as 6%. So the backup in yields, it's not worrisome just yet when it comes to equities or even the fixed income markets yet, because it's reflecting more growth ahead. And then maybe later on we get more inflation. But right now we're talking more reflation. So it's a perfect backdrop, stronger growth, moderate inflation, and good earnings outlook. And that's why you want to be in equities.
Well, there were some talks of tapering concerns, tapering comments, I think last week. Do you expect to see more of these kind of comments by the FOMC?
I mean, I think that's going to be a discussion for some time in 21, not the second week in January. Anyone worried about the Fed tapering here is going to miss out on more upside, because we still have a weak economy. We're still working through some problems in the employment market. There's a lot of disinflation out there still with COVID-19. We're not normalizing until the second half of this year. And the market's forward looking for sure. But any talk of tapering here is just way too premature. We need to see, we'll get some CPI numbers, inflation numbers first. But I do think, yeah, the Fed tapering is conversation probably for Q3 this year.
Now, Joe, U.S. earnings kick off next week with U.S. banks leading the pack. In general, how well have financial institutions performed in the fourth quarter? And will the outlook for the sector be more optimistic this quarter?
Well, the consensus on Wall Street, if you look at a lot of strategists, they are overweight the financials, you know, that cyclical bent towards portfolios. And we've got a steeper yield curve, good M&A activity, good household spending, capital expenditures kicking in. You know, the financials are in favor here on Wall Street. And I think that's, you know, remember, they were out of favor for large parts of the last, say, 10, 11 months. Loan loss provisions, we were expecting less of those as the economy heals. So given the fiscal stimulus, given the monetary expansion, the global synchronized expansion, you know, kind of the animal spirits around M&A, good trading volumes, of course, as well. The backdrop's favorable here in 21 for financials. Yes.
Now, Joe, while banks do kick off earnings season, a lot of people like to pay attention to the tech sector. And they had a pretty red day yesterday. But then again, the market as a whole had a pretty red day. Has the antitrust concerns changed your outlook or altered the outlook for tech in 2021 and onwards?
Well, I mean, that's something we've been watching for quite some time. It started a long time ago in the European Union, the EU Commission, then it jumped the pond to the U.S., you know, then we had last year, a couple of years, we've had, you know, the tech be a big issue between the United States and China. I mean, so the tech sector has weathered a lot of kind of antitrust sentiment and worries, but they seem to climb that wall of worry. I think it's going to come down to earnings, really, and I do think they're going to be better than expected because of so much e-commerce, digitalization, cloud computing. Now, a lot of this is already priced into these, you know, the big stocks, but I don't think, you know, we're looking for any dramatic downside. They're more of a plateauing after a gangbusters 2020. But you're right in the sense that you've got to watch very carefully the competition from China, maybe infrastructure spending around 5G, and the regulatory backdrop when it comes to the technology companies, for sure.
So what about the performance of gold prices then, Joe? Because gold prices have begun the year by retreating below last year's levels. What's driving this bearish sentiment? Do you see any recovery in demand for it as a safe haven asset?
Well, I think some of the gold, the decline of gold is just kind of profit-taking. A lot of people, you know, we had a lot of clients and prospects and people I talked to, hedge funds, take their profits in gold late last year or this year. They're looking for, maybe it's Bitcoin, maybe it's another digital currency, maybe it's more of a precious metal when it comes to lithium batteries, cobalt, and other issues there. But I think any pullback in gold kind of sets us up for a rebound later this year as we start to see more of the whites of the eyes of inflation. But, you know, to me, you know, no more, I mean, we're not overly, when it comes to portfolio construction, 3-5% of the portfolio is really in, say, precious metals. So it's a small denomination because we want to be in equities, dividend payers, emerging markets. I think there's better places to be when it comes to inflation and to long-term capital appreciation other than gold.
I want to circle back on your comments about reflation and no tapering yet. But the US dollar index has started retracing upwards. What should we read from this? Where is the demand for the dollar coming from?
Well, I mean, I think the demand for the dollar is going to be this. The United States economy is growing much faster. I mean, it's got a good head of steam. If we get another stimulus package, which we will with the blue wave, the Georgia Democrats doing well, this is on top of two of the largest fiscal stimulus packages we've ever seen in the last 10 months. So I think, you know, don't bet too much against the dollar because I think the United States is going to be out in terms of growth, real GDP growth, which will, and you've seen the backsliding in Europe. You've seen it in Japan as well. So I think the dollar has a bid here. I think most of the dollar weakness is behind us, but that doesn't mean the dollar can't trend lower. But don't expect another, you know, 10 to 12% decline in the dollar this year. I think that's overdone.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Joe. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, of the opinion that the dollar weakness that we saw through most of last year is at an end, though potential downtrends still to be seen. But also this morning, we have some news, I think. Roshan, what's going on?
Yeah, so we've got Facebook and Twitter shares that fell yesterday as technology companies tried to contain a mountain of backlash against their social media sites, and rival platforms Parlay forced offline by AWS's Amazon Web Services, as well as being taken off the Google and Apple app stores respectively. So if you take a look at tech stocks this morning, Facebook was down 4%, Alphabet was down 2.3%. Where is Twitter? I seem to have lost the bird here. There it is. Twitter is 6.4% down this morning. So we're seeing... I mean, it was generally quite a red day, but some of the tech stocks have taken quite a beating yesterday, and that this is going to be something to watch, right? And that's why I asked Joe that question there, whether the outlook was what his outlook was, and he did still seem a bit more bullish on the cloud computing and the cloud computing and e-commerce, but he didn't mention the social media companies, right? And the big names, I think he's still of the opinion that they've been relatively priced in, but he does expect good earnings to come out from tech and corporate, and earnings season does start next week with the big banks.
Yeah, I guess the main concern is always whether there will be some legislative consequence that could follow as a result of Facebook and Twitter's actions. And these bans were strongly criticized by senior lawmakers in Europe. I think they argue that lawmakers should set the rules governing free speech and not the technology companies. They say the state should be responsible for regulations.
Yeah, so this is a story that we'll be watching very closely indeed to see how this develops. But right now we are about to head into some messages, and then up next we're going to be talking about the UMNO Bersatu breakup with Dr. Hamidin Hamid from the think tank Ilham Center. Be sure to stay tuned for that conversation after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.